कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जरा वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जरा वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी शोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन शोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन नौनाती रावणचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन धारी शोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम हरे राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधे जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ जय बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा जय गौरंग जय नित्य गौरंग नित्य गौरंग जय नित्य गौरंग गोविंद हरि गोविंद वेंकट रमण गोविंद श्रीनिवास गोविंद श्री वेंकटेश गोविंद प्रभुपाद 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 श्रील प्रभुपाद
कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरोः श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो नील बंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ್ವಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 27th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 22.
ಮಯಿ ಸಂರಭ್ಯ ವಿಪುಲ ಮದಾಕ್ಷಾಪಂ ಸುದುಸ್ಸಹಂ ಸ್ಥಾತುಮರ್ಹಸಿ ನೈಕತ್ರ ಮದ್ಯಾಜ್ಞಾ ವಿಮುಖೋ ಮುನೇ. ಮಯಿ ಸಂರಭ್ಯ ವಿಪುಲ ಮದಾಕ್ಷಾಪಂ ಸುದುಸ್ಸಹಂ ಸ್ಥಾತುಮರ್ಹಸಿ ನೈಕತ್ರ ಮದ್ಯಾಜ್ಞಾ ವಿಮುಖೋ ಮುನೇ. ಸ್ಥಾತುಮರ್ಹಸಿ ನೈಕತ್ರ
ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಮಯಿ ಮಯಿ ಅಂಟ್ ಮೀ ಸಂರಭ್ಯ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಆಂಗ್ರಿ ವಿಪುಲ ಅನ್ಲಿಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಮದಾತ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಶಾಪಂ ಕರ್ಸ್ ಸುದುಸ್ಸಹಂ ಅನ್ಬ್ಯಾರಬಲ್ ಸ್ಥಾತುಮರ್ಹಸಿ ಯು ಮೇ ರಿಮೈನ್ ನ ನೆವರ್ ಏಕತ್ರ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಮತ್ ಮೈ ಯಾಜ್ಞ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್ ವಿಮುಖ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ರೆಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಮುನೇ ಓ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸೇಜ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋಸ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ. ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸೇಜ್ ನಾರದ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಐ ರೆಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಟು ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಹರ್ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್. ಹರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೇಡಿ? ಜರಾ. ಶಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಆಂಗ್ರಿ ಅಟ್ ಮೀ and cursed me severely because I refused her request. She said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Purport: the great sage Narada Muni has a spiritual body. Therefore, old age, disease, birth and death do not affect him. Narada is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, his business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinarily no need for him to stay in one place for more than the time he requires to preach. Since by his own free will, he is already traveling all over the universe, the curse of Kalakanya is described as fortunate. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places and in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of the material laws. So we were hearing from His Grace Krishnananda Prabhu yesterday. It was so thrilling to hear from Krishnananda Prabhu. I travel so much outdoor. I don't get His association as much as I would get in the early days when I was in Pune in 1995. So I was requesting Him yesterday that, Prabhu, you make Pune the base and come and stay here. Both Brahmacharis, students and congregation can immensely benefit. Now, based on this verse, if Krishnananda Prabhu says, I am also traveling place to place. I can't stay in one place. I have a counter argument for Him. You know what is it? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there is one verse which says, Govinda Bhuja Guptayam, Dwaravatyam. It says, the Dwaraka is embraced by Krishna like this, Govinda Bhuja Guptayam. Lord Govinda with His Bhuja, means the shoulders, is embracing the place of Dwaraka, which is a holy place, due to which such curses like this don't apply there. Which means a saintly person can stay in Dwaraka for years together, like Narada. Although here in this verse, we just now learned that he earned a curse from Kalakanya, Jara. Such curses do not apply in the holy dham. So Vrindavachandra temple is also a holy dham. So if Prabhuji comes here, he can stay forever. So it's not that he has to travel. Of course, for traveling purposes, he will travel out and come. In holy places, Prabhupada says, they are protected by Krishna's glands, and they, no such curses will work, he says. So, some of you might have heard a similar curse that Narada got from another person. Who is that? Daksha Prajapati. See, the word Daksha means expert. Expert in what? He was expert in Praja Utpati. So, he was a Prajapati producing. He produced 10,000 sons first, Hariyashvas, and sent them to a place called Narayana Saras. They touched the sacred waters and performed pranayama and chanting of the holy name and worshipped Lord Vishnu. And their hearts became completely purified. All the contaminations were eliminated. And they developed vairagya, renunciation, to quit the material world and go back to Godhead. See, there are two margas explained in the Bhagavatam. Pravritti marg, nivritti marg. Pravritti marg means dharma artha kama. Nivritti marg is moksha and beyond. So, for most living entities, the pravritti marg is prescribed for gradual elevation and eventual liberation. But those people like this Hariyashvas, they were already ready for getting liberated. The goal of the material world is liberation and attaining back home, back to Godhead. In the dawn of creation, Brahma created the Chatushkumaras, and one of his expectations immediately was, oh, now I got four sons now. Eventually they will do Prajavatpati and help me in increasing the population of the universe. That was his expectation. See, this is the problem in the material world. Anybody creates anything, immediately they get expectations. Correct, no? As soon as you do something, you get expectation. Similarly, any mother, father, they have expectation from their children, isn't it? So Brahma also had expectation. But then those four fellows, Chatushkumaras, they refused to enter into married life. They wanted to remain celibates. So that made Brahma very angry. One of the acharyas have commented there that what is the goal of Brahma being made the leader of the whole Brahmanda? His goal is not just do Praja Utpati. His goal is to expand the population and then teach Vedas to the population and eventually liberate them and send all the living entities back home, back to Godhead. That's ultimate goal. So if the four Kumaras are already ready, they are saying that now only we will go back to Godhead. Why should he be angry? Because his ultimate goal is being accomplished. Is it not true? So, why Brahma became angry? Because he lost sight of the ultimate goal. because he got preoccupied by the immediate goal. This is one very important lesson we all can learn in our lives, that sometimes we make decisions in our life based on some immediate problems. In the name of solving the immediate problem, we forget the ultimate problem. Ultimate problem is to go back to Godhead. So, in 2.14, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that, you see, this world has a lot of problems which come one after another, like the waves of ocean. Yesterday morning I was hearing Prabhupada was saying that such a striking point. He said, somehow if you fell in the middle of the ocean and there are waves coming towards you, so if you become too afraid of the waves and all the time try to keep counteracting the waves and you never make a plan for reaching the shores, then all your energy will be exerted in counteracting the waves, fighting with this wave, fighting with that wave, this wave, that wave. Then you will be always in the middle of the ocean. Is it a good situation? So one has to see the waves coming. Okay, let the wave come and hit me also this side, but my eye should be fixed on the shores. I have to return to the shore, because shore is the safest place where there are no waves. Once you reach the shore, you are safe. So in the material world, we cannot stop the reversals and difficulties and dangers and temptations and problems, and we cannot stop them. They keep coming one after another. Rather than become broken down or hopeless by them, or rather than counteracting them and becoming afraid of them, instead of that, one should actually think that, oh, I have come to a dangerous place. Like Prabhupada says, danger must be there because we have put ourselves in a dangerous position. So, even for Pandavas, there were so many dangers one after another. Even for Prahlad, there were so many dangers. If great souls have encountered so many dangers, we should not think very high about ourselves. We have come with baggage of so many past karmic reactions and everything. So therefore, as devotees, our eyes should be fixed on the end goal of life, which is to go back to Godhead. So Chatushkumara has had that goal clearly, but Brahma became angry because Brahma thought, my immediate project is to expand population. But his ultimate project is to send everybody back to Godhead. That ultimate goal he forgot. Similarly, we find here that Daksha Prajapati, what he did, Daksha actually was supposed to produce population, and then that population of people were supposed to hear the Vedic wisdom and purify their hearts and go back to God, which is ultimate goal. But Daksha represents Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, the path of Pravritti Marga, and Narada stands for Nivritti Marga. Narada stands for liberation, while Daksha represents the life in this world. Daksha is telling, take birth in this world, you know, take all the facilities and amenities of this world, lead a very happy life, do dharma, artha, kama, moksha, everything you do yajna, dana, tapa, everything. And then eventually when you get old, you get purified, and then gradually you can think about moksha, which is far away, pretty far away, nothing to worry right now. This is Daksha. And Narada, he represents Nivritti Marga. What he says, oh, this world is Dukalayam Ashashvatam, Bhagavadam Lav Chalo. Go back to Godhead. So they have two different ideologies, two different focuses. So when Narada met these boys, 10,000 boys in Harishwas, in Narayana Saras, he saw that these boys are purified in their heart. And they don't have to go through the, you know, all the procedure of the worldly encumbrances. So he didn't tell them that you give up everything. He spoke logically the nature of material world, the nature of spiritual world, the nature of the Bhagavan, Adi Purusha. About each of these items, one analogy he gave. And after that analogy, he told them, now you think about it. That's all he said, and he went away. They thought about it and renounced everything. And they all decided to follow the path of Paramahamsas, by giving up everything. So Daksha Prajapati became wild. Then he came to know Narada, delivered them all. So he didn't take Narada to India TV. Isn't it? Instead, he decided to produce another 1,000 more. Then he produced 1,000 more boys. Then they all came to the same spot, Narayana Saras. See, this goes to show the glory of Daksha Prajapati. What is the glory? 10,000 boys all have become celibates. And he knows that. Narada priesthood, they all got followed that path. Now again he is producing 1,000 more children. He could have kept them at home. He didn't do that. Because in those days, the kings and everybody knew that without purifying the heart, controlling the mind and purifying the senses, one should not enter into grihastha ashrama. Because any ashram you enter, brahmacharya or grihastha, the goal is control the mind and, you know, purify the mind and purify the senses so that one can focus one's intelligence on Lord Vasudev peacefully. That is the goal. It's immaterial which ashrama we take up. The goal is same. So Daksha Prajapati thought, okay, the first lot has been taken away. Okay, let me create a second lot. Second lot he produced and he sent them to, again to the same spot, Narayan Saras. Narada, you know, without fail, he did his duty of arriving there. And when he arrived there, he saw them. He didn't tell them anything. He only told only one thing to them, that your elder brothers have done this and you are all very intelligent, follow their path, he said. And then he went away. So they also followed the same path. Now Daksha Prajapati became really very, very angry. He thought this, I am producing children and Narada is taking them all to become celibates. So now he decided, if I produce another lot, that fellow is going to do the same thing. So now he produces daughters now. Then Narada is not going to chase after daughters. So that was his conviction. And then he got his daughters married and then they produced further population and all. Other places, different places. So now, this Daksha Prajapati maintained vengeance for Narada in his heart. That he had taken away my sons. And Narada, see, Narada's character is a very surprising, amazing character. Unless we hear from Srila Prabhupada purports and our spiritual master's lectures, it's difficult to understand Narada. See, imagine somebody has a vengeance for you. What will any of us do? You know that he is staying in one place. Will you go there? He already is angry with you. How many of you would prefer not going in front of an angry man? We all would prefer, correct? But Narada went there. Now you may want to know why Narada went there. Narada went to Daksha to deliver Daksha also. He thought, not only I want to deliver your sons, I want to deliver you also. Okay, what is his plan for delivering Daksha? He thought, if I go in front of Daksha, first he will become very angry and I will remain humble. By seeing my humility, Daksha will become humble. And then he will surrender. When he surrenders, then I will preach devotional service to him. And then he will also take up and he will follow the path of his sons. He will also go back to Godhead. So when he went to Daksha, Daksha very heavily spoke to him. He said one very famous verse. Nanu bhuyana janati uman vishayati kshnatam nirvidyate swayam tasmat na tatha bhinnadhi parehi. He said, hey Narada, do you think I am an attached householder? He said, na anubhuyana janati, as long as a living entity does not experience the material world by going through family life and doing yajna, dana, tapa, putting up a house, having wife, children, job, and he has to get solid kicks from the world. Anubhuya. Na anubhuya na janati. As long as he has not done that, puman vishaya tikshnatam, he cannot understand the sharpness of material enjoyment. What is sharpness? Just like if somebody tells somebody, hey, don't touch fire, it is too hot. If somebody doesn't believe it, when they touch it, they will understand it. Similarly, the sharpness of metal enjoyment is compared to sharp, broken glass pieces. That's what Dhruva also said, kacham, vichinman, he said. Why? Because if you take some broken glass pieces in the hand and you do like this, what will happen? Actually broken glass pieces are useless and they are also dangerous. Because if you take them and do like this, they will tear your hands and it will bleed. Similarly, material sense gratification will bleed us. It will cause us a lot of pain, suffering in this world. That if you tell people, they will not understand, he said. Laaton ka bhoot, baaton se manega. That was his point. People have to go through it and after getting solid punches on their nose and left, right, center, then they will realize. And then he says, न अनुभूय न जानाति पुमान विषय तीक्ष्णताम निर्विद्यते स्वयं तस्मात. वंस दे रियलाइज हाउ डेंजरस दिस मेटल सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन इज, स्वयं तस्मात निर्विद्यते. ऑन देयर ओन दे विल गिव अप, दे विल ड्रॉप इट. ओ आई वॉज अननेसेसरली प्लेइंग विथ फायर, नाउ दे विल गिव अप. न तथा भिन्न धी पर ही. On the other hand, he said, if somebody else preaches to a person, hey, give up the material sense gratification, chant Hare Krishna, go to God, you know, that kind of artificially created renunciation will not last long, he said. He may preach and tell a person to become sadhu, brahmachari or something like that. They will eventually turn back because the nature of material world is pravritti. One will go for that. That's what he told Narada. You have artificially induced my sons to become celibates, then they are innocent boys. We have actually preached to them strongly about renunciation. That was the foolish thing you did. Therefore, you are not a sadhu, I am a sadhu, he said. Who? Daksha Prajapati, he said. But Narada knew very well that the boys who renounced everything and went back to Godhead, I mean wanted to go back to Godhead, even if they fall down, there is no loss. Narada says this to whom? Vedavyas, he says, Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakvottapate tato yadi yatrakva va bhadrama bhudamushyakim kovarta apto abachatam swadharmatah. Narada says, tells Vyasadeva, Tyaktva swadharmam, if somebody has given up worldly life, going to IT company, working hard, making money, living in this world, Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer, to hold on to the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Bhajan apakvota is saying. In case his bhajan is apakva. Apakva means what? Huh? Not yet ripe, not mature. Patet. Because of that he falls down. Tato yadi. In case he says. It's not that everybody has to fall down. But even if somebody falls down, he is saying, Yatrakpava bhadrava bhuda mushrikim. What loss is there? He is saying. Why? Sometimes we find in certain temples, people have been brahmacharis for 10-12 years and then they leave the ashrama and go. So some relatives say, hey, see, you wasted your 10 years in the ashrama. You could have, if you had gone into material life, you would have gone to sky high, great heights. Now you see, you wasted your life in the ashrama. People say like that. Actually, here Narada says, such a thought process is foolishness. Why? The 10 years of golden period of rendering service to Krishna day and night, with every breath, with every drop of blood, that has gone into his golden record of Bhakti Sukriti, which is unerasable, it is undeletable. It is a permanent asset. In fact, Prabhupada says, even for grihasthas and vanaprasthas, Prabhupada says, every human being should give 20 years of his life completely in Krishna's service. I can show you, there is a purport, Prabhupada says that. And why he says 20 years? Prabhupada knows people will not leave the world till 50 at least. So you add 20 more, how much it comes to? Yeah. In case they die at 70, at least 50 to 70 they have to give. Therefore he says that. But if somebody can give 25 to 45, it's even more wonderful. Why? Is there a difference or no difference? A big difference. 25 to 45 you have the very healthy body. No? Your mind is healthy, body is healthy, you can memorize many shlokas, you can study shastra very nicely. Yeah? And then you're given your body. And then even if somebody marries after that also, there is no loss. Because the best part of his life, the prime of his youth, he has given for Krishna's service. And somebody may say, then what about his material life? See, material life is not permanent. You know, you may have a beautiful bungalow, car, job, everything. Down the line, after 10, 20, 30 years, what will happen to all of them? Everything will be sacked. Therefore, in the previous chapter, in this chapter only, Chandavega. Who is Chandavega? Chandavega is time personified. The time is coming, Chandavega. And he is not alone. He has 360 Gandharvas and 360 Gandharvis. That means Gandharvas are for the day, Gandharvis for the night. So all these Gandharvas and Gandharvis, 360 means in 1 year we have 360 days. 360 days. So this Chandavega Kala is attacking Puranjana. The Puranjan is the Jiva, like all of us. Our body is being attacked by Chandavega. Along with the 360 Gandharvas and Gandharvis. They are attacking. And they are not alone. Along with Chandavega, who else is there? There is a Prajwara, 107 degree Fahrenheit fever, which doesn't come in the early stage. It comes at the time of death. he also comes. Then there is Jara, who is called Durbhaga. Why she is called Durbhaga? Nobody is ready to marry Jara, Kalakanya. Because if Kalakanya embraces a man, immediately he will become old, that fellow. Anybody want to get old here? Therefore, all men, when they see Jara, they run away. And Jara came to Narada and said, hey, can I marry you? You are a young boy. You look very handsome. Can I marry you? Narada said, no, you can't marry me. Why? Because I want a healthy, youthful body to serve Krishna. If you take away my youthfulness, I become old, then the old age can become an impediment in serving. So, in this way, she is called Durbhaga, who couldn't get a husband, suitable husband. And then she goes to Yavanaraj. Yavanaraj, who is Yavanaraj? Dirty fellow, unclean fellow. That fellow represents all bad habits, like overeating, oversleeping, over sense gratification, over accumulation of material things, and having illicit sex, illicit connection, smoking, drinking. All these things are all spreaded by this fellow. His name is Yavanaraj. So, Narada sent this Jara to Yavanaraj. Go there. Because you are old age and that fellow represents all diseases. Nice combination. Both of you. You go. And that fellow, of course, Yavanaraj. Now Yavanaraj, Jara and Chandavega with all Gandharva Gandharvis, they all are attacking every body. Everybody's body is being attacked. Therefore, we all can see, Prabhupada says that as your age goes, up to 50 you have strength in the body. Therefore, most companies retire a person by 55 or 60. Because some people little bit exert more. The prana. Prana is represented by the five-hooded snake. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. This five-hooded snake actually is the person who is protecting our soul. And trying to attack back all these fellows like Chandavega, who is time, and Jara, who is old age, and Yavanaraj, and Prajwara. All these people are attacked by whom? This five-hooded serpent. So this five-hooded serpent is standing between the soul and these people. And attacking back. And this attack starts when, do you know that? Right from the time you took birth in this world. From that time it began. So when you are young and youthful, this snake is very powerful. It can drive away all these fellows back. But when you cross 50, when you go to 51, 52, 53, 55, the snake becomes tired over a period of time. Sometimes when you do a lot of physical work, you gradually get tired. So the snake also gets tired. How do you know that? We see that the diseases are taking over our body. You know, we can see that because of, especially in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says, people don't eat simple food and they don't cultivate good habits of eating on time, sleeping on time, regulated lifestyle. Prabhupada says with simple food and regulated habits, you can actually remain youthful and happy till your last breath. Prabhupada says that. But most people will not follow. They will eat complicated food. Because their minds are complicated, they will want to eat all kinds of things. And because of that, they will invite many diseases in the body. And they will do over-sense gratification, oversleep, over-accumulation of things. Because of wanting to accumulate too many things, they will have over-dependent on the mercy of karmis. If you want to accumulate too many unnecessities in your life and live a life lavishly, you have to wag your tail and lick the boots of non-devotees. Crazy fellows, those are cow flesh eaters. We have to work for them because we need money for satisfying our desire to over-accumulate things. Therefore, simple living, high thinking. So if somebody does simple living and high thinking, along with that, one also keeps one's eating program simple and regulated lifestyle. These are all clues that Prabhupada is giving us how to be Krishna conscious and keep our life smooth, very anukul for advancing in bhakti. So, in this way, even if somebody becomes a material success, we can ask the question, sir, how much can you enjoy? How long can you enjoy? Okay, let us imagine, a man becomes a multi-crore business, he became a billionaire. So what? Instead of 5 chapatis, he's going to eat 50 chapatis? Even if he has a house with 100 rooms, is he going to live in 100 rooms? So, becoming a very big business magnate doesn't entitle you with more ability to enjoy the world. Even if there, like in Pune, there is a Poonawala, richest man in Pune. So, say there are 20 star hotels in Pune and 2000 items are made every day. Can you go and eat in every hotel? So, what is our ability to enjoy? One should see. So, a coolie in the street or the biggest business magnate flourishing in a business, their eating program, sleeping program is same. Then why accumulate? Ask that question. It's useless. Useless to accumulate. In this world, why should you be foolish to accumulate and leave it and go away? See, Chakravarti Thakur says, watchman, all the living entities are, he is calling them as watchman. Why watchman? Watchman means you accumulate, watch, leave and go. Therefore, you are watchman. Because you are not entitled for them. You can only accumulate, leave and go. Actually, everything belongs to whom? Krishna. Like you will see, say you bring some bundi from the market, keep in your home, and then you go to take a bath and come back and you find ants are there. Immediately you take it and keep it in the sunlight, all the ants will be gone. So the ants were proprietors of the bundi only for a short time. You are the actual proprietor. Similarly, all the living entities in this world are compared to ants which are trying to catch the Supreme Lord's property and then after that they leave it and go away. And the property remains whose property? Krishna's property. Therefore, Narada Muni said, Yatrakva Vabhadram Abhudamushyakim Ko Varta Apto Abhajatam Swadharmataha. He said, even if a person who surrenders to Lord Hari completely, he due to some apakvata in his bhajan, in case he pateth also, even if he falls also, there is no big loss, he says. Why? Whatever time he served the Lord, that account is indeletable, undepletable. That is a permanent account. That is already a big success. Krishna has taken note of all that years of service. And now the whatever balance life is there, somehow you will make two ends meet and finish off his life and go back to Godhead eventually. And there is another very important point. The more a person has done Krishna consciousness in early life. Say for example, there are some small children, like you've seen this Damodar and Balaram. From this age they are chanting and dancing. These impressions are going to powerfully stay in their consciousness. So such children, if they grow up in their life, and by the time they come to say 20-25, even if they get spoiled, some children may get spoiled also because of the worldly material influence, very quickly they will come to their senses. Imagine somebody gets spoiled after some time, they fell down or something. In 10-20 years they will realize the futility of the material existence. That is told by Narada in another verse. He says, what is that verse? Katanchana prajain mukunda. Navai jano jatu katanchana prajain mukunda sevyangri. Mukunda sevyangri. What is the second line? Navai jano jatu katanchana prajain mukunda sevyangri. Upaguhanam punar.
You take that verse?
Mukunda sevyangri samsritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatumichen narasagraho jana. This is a very important verse. He says, if you have done some Krishna consciousness in the past, then you fell down. The droplets of honey that you experienced in the past will not leave you. It will again and again pull you back to Krishna's lotus feet. So you will see that people who have practiced Krishna consciousness before 25, after the 25 to 50, they go for family life and earning money and everything. By 50, 60 again, they will be reminded, oh, what a wonderful life I had before. Such a blissful life. They are like, it's like the, like you say, golden age of Guptas. Similarly, golden age of Krishna consciousness. They will think like that. They will again come back. So two advantages. If a person falls down also, whatever amount of bhakti, maya, seva he did, that is in his permanent account, plus it will pull him back to Krishna's lotus feet. Is it not wonderful? This is Narada's logic. So, therefore Narada was convinced about delivering Hariyashvas and Shavalashvas. But Daksha, he called Narada as Asadhu. He said, you are Asadhu, I am Asadhu. And then Daksha said, do you think I am attached householder? My goal is also renunciation only. But when? After spending entire life of Grihastha and Vanaprastha, when I am thoroughly frustrated with the world, then I will go for the Nivritti Marga. Then I will take to the path of moksha. Like that he said. But one has to give that much time. That was his argument, Daksha's argument. So that time when he scolded Narada like this, with elaborate explanation, what do you think Narada did? Narada said, "Tad badam," he said. "I accept," he said. "You call me, I am useless fellow, okay, I am useless." Then immediately Daksha became humble. Because Daksha felt, "My Lord, I chastised him so heavily, and this personality is so humble, he is accepting it. So now who is sadhu now? Am I sadhu or he is sadhu?" Like that he felt. So while yelling out and shouting and screaming at Narada, before Narada said that "Tad badam, I accept," before that one thing happened. Daksha said, "Because Narada, you have taken away my 10,000 plus 11,000 sons, I am so fed up with you, I curse you that you will not be able to stay in your home. You will always wander from one place to another, homelessly," he said. So why he said that? Because Daksha was very attached to home. Because you will see that those who are materialists, for them home is a very important place. They will try to make home a bigger and bigger place. They will be attached to the garden, they will be attached to home, they will be attached to comforts. Like one man gave us his home on rent when we used to go to IIT Kharagpur. So he told us that, "I am going to occupy the house after 6 months. It is just now completed. It is still some little painting is remaining. But you guys can use it for 6 months. And after that I will, you will have to vacate." He said, "We agreed." So we were staying in we were actually using the house for our preaching program. So if our devotees put one picture on the wall with a glue tack, he will come running. He will say, "Hey, no, 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 you should not put this on the wall, paint will come out." Then devotee said, "Okay, we will not stick it, we will put a nail, tok, tok." "Oh, no, 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 no. If you hit there, tok, tok, here it is hitting, tok, tok, tok." Then we wondered, how can we put the pictures? Then we said, "We'll keep a table and keep the picture leaning on the wall." "Oh, no, 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 the lion will come on the wall if you put the picture." Then we said, "We have to suspend in the air only, or what?" So he identified with the house too much. Correct, no? So people like Daksha, for them, the home is everything for them. "My home, my home, my home. I need mine." That's very strong. Therefore, Daksha thought, for anybody in this world, the most dearest thing is what? Home. Therefore, I will curse Narada. That he cannot stay at home, he has to wander. This is called Atmavan Manyate Jagat. You know what is Atmavan Manyate Jagat? He thought Narada is also attached to home like him. Atmavan Manyate means, he thought Narada is like him only. Is that true? Poor Daksha, little did he know, Narada doesn't want to stay in one place. He is a traveling preacher. You will see Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Allahabad, in one day he had 8 programs. Do you know that? His disciple got tired. After 3 programs, the disciple was sleeping in that house and he had told the owner of the house that when Prabhupada is going for the next program, you wake me up. So by the time he got up, Prabhupada already had gone ahead. Then this fellow had to catch auto and catch up with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was going 8 programs in a day. So you will see, for a traveling person, why do you need a home? The whole world becomes your home. Anywhere you go to any ISKCON temple, you see Prabhupada is sitting behind and Radha Krishna deities are there. So this is Prabhupada's home, is our home. Wherever Prabhupada is there, that is a temple, Prabhupada is sitting and praying to the Lord. You go and stay there. And so Narada actually is always flying. Devadattam imam veenam swara brahma vibhushitam murchayitva harikatam gayamanas charamyaham. Charami means what? I don't stay in one place. Devadattam imam veenam. Lord has given me, Vishnu personally gifted me a veenam. Devadatta imam veenam swara brahma vibhushitam. In that I sing the glories of the Lord with Sarigama Padanesa. I sing. And then he is saying, Murchaitva Harikatam. I sing Harikata and play the Veena and Gaya Manas Charamyaham. Singing Lord's glory is what I do. I go from place to place. So in this way, Narada is always on the move. And he is finding out where is good preaching scope. And Lord Vishnu is in regular touch with Narada also. He gives him ideas where to go. As soon as this Dhruva boy went to the forest, Lord Vishnu immediately phoned up Narada and said, Narada, there's a preaching scope. Where? In the forest of Madhuvan. One young boy has come and it's a very serious boy. If you don't believe me, go to the forest and see yourself. You test him. And you will find he is going to become a wonderful devotee. And Narada went there to the Madhuvan forest. So he always is looking for opportunities to preach, to reach out to people. And he has different strategies for different people. According to the person's mindset, intelligence, lifestyle, culture, his inclination, taste. He sees all these things. Accordingly, he will preach wherever he goes. So, when Narada was given a curse by Daksha Prajapati, he became jubilant. Already I had a desire to travel and you have cursed me to travel. Thank you very much. So wonderful. And same kind of curse that Jara is giving Narada now. She is giving the same kind of curse. You see, how does a Vaishnava see a curse? That's very important. See, a curse is a blessing if it reminds us of Krishna. I heard my spiritual master, he has a very good sense of humor. Sometimes he would crack such amazing joke. One joke I heard in one of his lectures, he said, when Nalakur Manigri were cursed to become trees, behind the Nanda Bhavan, they became trees and they were standing. So Maharaj was telling, earlier they were Nalakur Manigri were devatas and they had very handsome bodies. All the apsaras were hankering for their association. And they were drinking and enjoying in the Mandakini Ganga with apsaras. And apsaras would see them from a distance. You would say, wow, look at these two guys, how handsome they are. But now Maharaj said, now they have got the body of trees. And the trees have big branches and leaves and twigs. Now there were apsaras walking right next to the trees. They never looked at the tree. Like that Maharaj was telling. The apsaras, two, three apsaras were passing by, but they never even looked at the tree. And Nalakur Manigri were thinking, hey, all these girls used to look at us before. Now nobody is paying attention to us. So they were thinking like that. He was telling. So he was telling, while they were inside the body of the tree, they became very repentant. How foolish we were. Mandakini Ganga is a holy place. We went there and enjoyed in the waters with nude bodies and drinking liquor in such a holy place. And definitely, and also when the saintly sage Narada came there, the ladies offered obeisances and they took their clothes and ran away due to respect for Narada. And we were so drunken in liquor, we were so unconscious that we didn't even offer our respects to him. So they were repeatedly repented and lamented. That is one big plus point for Nalakur Manigri. Because if we can have repentant, purpose is repentance and penance. If we have these two things, we are preparing to go back to God. So they had that. They were doing the penance of remembering Krishna repeatedly, and they were doing the repentance of remembering their past life and repenting. Plus one more advantage. When great sages like Narada curse, give a curse, that curse turns into a blessing. Blessing in disguise, as we say. So Narada cursed them to become trees where? Behind the Nanda Bhavan. So when they became trees and standing, in fact, they appeared many years before Krishna's appearance. They were already standing there, waiting to welcome Krishna in this world. They were already standing. And after Krishna appeared, you all know that Krishna went with the okal grinding mortar between the two trees. And he pulled the grinding mortar and the two trees broke. But even before that, Krishna has played with his friends. Sometimes Krishna would hide behind this tree and he would be catching both the trees and hiding below. So they got the touch of Krishna also. And they were ecstatic. Their hairs were standing on end and their body was trembling in ecstasy. That Lord is embracing us. So in this way, they got to see Krishna Leela. They got to be embraced by Krishna. And Krishna personally delivered them by breaking the two trees and giving them their previous bodies of Nalakur Manigri. Adding to that, they were continuously repenting. They were prayerfully remembering Narada. And they were remembering Krishna. What more do you want? So is it a curse or a blessing? Blessing. That's a beauty. Same with Bharat Maharaj becoming deer. When he became deer, Prabhupada says four things about him. The deer was born in Kalanjara Mountains. But as soon as he was born, immediately he left Kalanjara Mountains and went where? To Palahashrama. If you are staying in your birthplace, you will identify with body more. If you are staying with a place where your Krishna consciousness was born, if you stay there, then you will be remembering your soul more. And so you have a choice. How do you want to stay? Generally, many of our old relatives, friends, they like to go to which place? Birthplace. But the problem is, imagine you go to your birthplace, there are coconut trees, there are beautiful ponds, and there are old material relatives and friends, and they, when you meet them, they talk in your own mother tongue, and they all talk about the old movies that you watched together, the games that you played together, and then ha ha ha, hee hee, hoo hoo, your time will be gone. And then you'll have to return back to this material world by associating with them. But when you come to another place, and then you meet devotees in ISKCON, you may think that, hey, devotees in ISKCON are not as friendly and as kind like my native place people. I have a network of people there. Yes, that's a beautiful network to completely put a noose around your neck. Whereas the network you get in ISKCON, sometimes devotees are immature. They behave a little rashly. They may not be up to your expectation. But if you somehow hang around with devotees, chanting the holy name, taking darshan of the deities, celebrating festivals, and lead a pure life, the very same devotees whom you may have trouble with, they are the ones going to take you back to Godhead. You will see, when a person passes away in a devotee community, even the devotees with whom he had problem, they also come and do kirtan in the graveyard. I have seen that. If somebody is passing away, there are people who had a solid tussle, fight with certain devotees, but they are also there in graveyard. That means, imagine, they are actually paving way for you to go back to Godhead. Is it not wonderful? So therefore, one should learn the art of adjusting while living in a devotee community with devotees of different mindsets. People sometimes feel, oh, this devotee community is too big. There are thousands of people here. I want to live in a serene village and beautifully with my own known people, old people. So it could be very dangerous and detrimental for our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we have to see what is a curse, what is a blessing. And that's very important. So this deer, he left the Kalanjara Mountains, which is his birthplace. He knew very well, if I stay in the Kalanjara Mountains, what will happen? My mother, my father, my uncle, my aunt, kaka, kaki, nana, nani, everybody will surround me. And they will shower me with hugs and kisses and so much that I'll become attached to this place and I will forget Krishna. So he left that place and went to Pulahashrama. Pulahashrama is a tapovanam. It's a tapobhumi where all the saintly people are living there. And when he went there, actually where Bharat Maharaj went is also which place? Pulahashrama only. Yeah. So he went to the same place because his Krishna consciousness started there in Pulahashrama. So now he unfortunately got a deer body and he was born in another place called Kalanjara Mountains. So he left that place and went to the place where his Krishna consciousness started. So he went there. But this time this deer, he did not go very close to saintly people because another fellow will fall down, no? So he didn't go. And then he will also become another deer. So what he did, he hid himself behind the bushes. Yeah, he sat in the bush and he was also only watching the saintly people from a distance and hearing the lectures. So the second thing he did, first thing he did is leave the birthplace and go to another place, Krishna conscious place. Second thing he did was he heard the saintly people's lectures very attentively, associated with them, and he became more elevated in his Krishna conscious understanding. Thirdly, he ate only dry grass, not green grass. Why? You think in that area green grass probably was not available? It was abundantly available. He wanted to do austerity. He wanted to keep his eating program simple. He didn't want to, because if he would eat very nicely and become plumpy, then he will want to do sense gratification and forget Krishna. So he wanted to keep his eating program simple. So he ate only dry leaves. Fourthly, he continuously cried tears. He repented. What a fool I was. I left my wife and prince and also elephants and horses and kingdom and praja, everything, and went to forest. I went to the Pulahashrama and I was fixing my attention on Lord Vasudev, every day doing Gayatri 3 times a day and meditating on Krishna. But suddenly I foolishly became attached to a small deer, considering the deer to be like a prince or like a Manikumar. What a fool I was. And because of that I fell down. So repeatedly he remembered his foolish act and he was crying tears. See, when such a genuine tears of repentance are showered by a devotee, all his sinful reactions are washed away. And the devotee becomes, his heart becomes more and more pure. It is exactly like taking a wet cloth and wiping a mirror. Your heart becomes cleansed by such tears, genuine tears. So in this way, those people who don't have proper understanding of Bhagavatam, they say, what is this? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trayate Mahato Bhayat, one will not fall down to animal body. But here we find, you know, Bharat Maharaj got animal body. Krishna did not keep his word. Some people say like that. But they are foolish. Why? They don't know he was situated in the body of a deer, but in a very high state of Krishna consciousness. If you make a chart of his Krishna consciousness, Bharat's Krishna consciousness, deer's Krishna consciousness, Jada Bharat's Krishna consciousness. The curve goes like this. Whereas when you see his body, Bharat's body, deer's body, it looks like this. It's going down. So people see very externally, superficially, foolishly. But one should see that the deer's body became a blessing for him. Similarly, now Nalakora's Manigriva's body became a blessing for them because they repented. So we should think like this in our lives. Even if you are deprived of something, if that deprivation helps you to save yourself from Maya, you should be very happy. Like one schoolboy was telling, Prabhuji, my mama, papa, they are not giving me smartphone. I said, they are actually saving you. Why are you crying? You are crying for being saved from suffering. They have saved you from enormous suffering. If you are having the facility of smartphone, you will always get stupid in that. They are not giving you. It's very good. They are actually very kind to you. So sometimes we may be deprived of something. We may think we are missing something. What are you missing? You are missing suffering. That's all. You are not missing anything else. So one should never think, why is Krishna not giving me this? Or why did Krishna put me in a certain type of situation? One shouldn't think like that. Krishna knows best what is good for us. So a curse can be, like another example comes to my mind. The same Daksha, when he saw Shiva, when he was telling many bad things about Shiva, the last thing he said to Shiva was, because you did not stand up and respect me, I curse you that you will not get the share in demigods. When demigods are all given their due share of sacrificial fruits. See, whenever sacrifice is done, ahuti is given for Indra, Chandra, Varuna, different people. He said ahuti will not be given for Shiva. Which means he said whenever there are demigods meetings, you will not be allowed to attend those meetings. You will be deprived of that. And then Lord Shiva heard it. He said, thank you, thank you, thank you, he said. Because he is a charachara guru. He is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. And Shiva is always sitting in meditation and chanting. If you tell Krishnanand Prabhu that you will not be allowed to be administrator in ISKCON, what do you think Krishnanand Prabhu will say? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't have to break my head in, you know, doing all this heavy duty administration. I will simply chant another 64 rounds. He will chant. Correct, no? So that's what happened to Shiva. That Shiva was very happy. So he thought he is depriving him of the managerial position and status. But Shiva said, you don't know how immensely you have benefited me by relieving me from this. And Shiva was very happy. So in this way, a curse can turn into a blessing. Similarly, Vidura one day was cursed and he was driven out by Duryodhana. Duryodhana told, this Vidura always contemplates on the welfare of the Pandavas. Although he is eating our salt. Throw him out of the palace only with his life air. Like that he said. When Vidura heard it, initially he was shocked. Because any of us in this world, somebody curses us, we, at least for a few moments we will get shaken up, isn't it? So Vidura thought, Hare, he is my nephew. And I am his uncle. And Dhritarashtra is my brother. And we are so thickly related, we are blood relations. How is it that he is speaking at an elder with such humiliation? So Vidura was little taken aback. So the word Karana Banair, he says, Karana Banair means a sharp arrow pierced his ears and chest. But he tolerated it. Next moment, Vidura thought, I think he is acting externally by the Bahiranga Shakti. He is making him speak like this. He has become extremely wild, extremely crazy, Duryodhana, because he is driven by passion. Anyway, let me not take it to my heart. Because a drunkard, whatever he speaks, you can't take it seriously. He is like a drunkard in three gunas, especially Rajaguna. So he ignored it. And then he took it positively. And the internal potency, Radharani, and Lord in his heart guided him that here's a golden opportunity for you. Now you go on a pilgrimage to see Krishna. So he took it as an opportunity and he went ahead. So when some devotee heard this, he said, Prabhu, how fortunate he is. He has given up all the politics of the this thing, you know, of the court, Asat Sabha, and he could go on a pilgrimage. Similarly, if in ISKCON there is too much politics, what should we do? Should we give up and go away like Vidura? Then I told, see, even in the middle of politics, Bhishma Pitamah did not quit. He didn't go away. Even in the middle of politics and Kamsa's court, Akrura did not quit. You will see that. Akrura and Bhishma Pitamah are examples of pure devotees who lived in the midst of dirty politics but still remained like a lotus in the middle of Kichad. They remained like a lotus. And how do you know? Bhishma, even in the battlefield, is feeling ecstatic virerasa in his heart while seeing Krishna lifting the wheel of a chariot and charging towards them. Similarly, Akrura was crying tears of affection and speaking Krishna's glories while entering Vrindavan in that Akrur Manorath chapter. We see that. That means, you know, you can't blame politics. You can't blame devotees. You can't blame the climate which is too hot. You can't say, Prabhuji, I am not very Krishna conscious nowadays because climate is too hot. You can't say that. You can't blame anyone or anything. We have to blame our wrong outlook. We have to give up our wrong outlook to the things. Therefore, Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, you may say that when Iravan died, Ulupi's son, when Iravan died, or Abhimanyu died, or when some elderly person like Bhishma Pitamah died, Arjuna was crying. And Krishna said, I understand. Because you have attachment to the skin, you have bodily consciousness. Anybody in this world will cry. But there is no solution. You have to tolerate it. Tam stitikshasva, he said. And you have to go on with your Krishna consciousness. Similarly, we also, in case there are many negativities around us, instead of getting discouraged, when will you get discouraged by them? When it enters your heart. When you allow the negativities to go in your heart, you are always thinking of them, then you will get drowned like a boat in which the water enters. It gets drowned. On the contrary, when you see negativities around, you can think, oh, I have to be more careful. I have to be more cautious. Let me be more safe. In this way, Bhishma Pitamaha and Akrura, they kept themselves very safe and secure in the lotus feet of Krishna. And so they could have considered it a curse. But the curse of staying with Kamsa and Duryodhana's Asat Sabha, all these things turned out to be a blessing for those devotees who are very sincere. Similarly, for Narada, in this chapter we see, this curse by Kalakanya is not going to affect him. Rather, it is becoming an advantage for him. And he is going to use it for traveling preaching all the more. Now maybe his speed will increase traveling more, Narada's speed, because two curses he got for traveling around. Narada Muni ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. One last thing. Prabhupada said in one purport, because our ancestor Narada Muni got this curse, I think he has transferred a part of the curse to me, Prabhupada said. Because I am also now traveling and preaching, Prabhupada said. I am not able to stay in one place, but I want to write Bhagavatam commentary sitting in one place peacefully. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I request my disciples to take this curse from me. So then let them travel around and I can stay in one place and write Bhagavatam purport. Shri Prabhupada ki. Yeah.